The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El-Khoury and today I'm delighted to be joined by Naveena Holland from Peekaboo Studios, and she's here with us in the studio this evening. Hi Naveena, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Lovely, lovely to meet you and lovely to have you in the studio with us.
Thank you.
So tell us about yourself, Naveena. Tell us about you and tell us about your Peekaboo journey.
Okay, well, so yeah, as you mentioned, my name is Naveena Holland and I come from St. Albans. I was born and raised in St. Albans, lived here all my life, apart from when I went to university to study photography. I have two children, two teenagers, a boy and a girl. And I started the business actually when they were babies themselves. I am a very, very creative person. So anyone that has met me will tell you that the number one thing about me is that I have a massive imagination. I love coming up with new and original ideas. And kind of this works really hand in hand with me being a photographer. It's in my blood. It's in my DNA. I feel like without photography, I'm not me. So anyone who kind of comes for a photo shoot, I feel like they're buying a part of me as well. Piece of me is put into every piece of artwork that I create. So my whole identity is within my work. And I feel like, especially in my industry, the photographic industry, I'm recognized as a newborn photographer in what I do. So yeah, that's just me in a bit of a nutshell.
Lovely. And have you always been a big photographer? Like, is it something you started when you had children or did it start before then?
So I would say I've always had a massive love for photography from when I was small. I used to love looking through photograph albums with my parents, with my mom. So back in the day then, we're talking, you know, 40 years ago, I would love, you know, those kind of cellophane albums, turning the pages. And
I do.
My parents used to let me put the pictures in, and I just remember that whole nostalgic smell of the albums, and you know, just looking at me growing up and being small, and that you know, I just had such a passion for photographs then. But I think I started taking my first photograph when I was 10 years old, and my mom brought me a camera, and I remember it really well, my first little compact camera. So it was film in those days. It's a little red camera, and she used to love taking photographs. This is my mom. She took photographs of everything, documented everything. And I think that kind of rubbed off on me. I remember the very first photograph I took was actually of wildlife, a swan, actually in Regent's Park. And it just came out really beautifully. And just that whole process of going to get it printed, going to the shop, waiting, you know, 3 or 4 days for it. And then, you know, getting your print, thinking, wow, this is beautiful. And this is probably something I want to talk about today, the fact that back then it was all prints and something we'd put on the wall to look at, or albums we'd turn the pages. Whereas now technology, everything is in the phone or in the cloud, or we don't know where our pictures are right now. You know, it's all kind of locked away with passwords and things like that. And all of a sudden there's nothing actually printed anymore physically that you can feel and touch and something that you can enjoy on the wall. It's all in these gadgets. And I feel like it's my mission and what I do to educate clients to, you know, have something printed, even if it's just one picture, put it on the wall. There's a whole psychology of children seeing pictures of themselves with their parents, you know, even in the park or on the playground or at the beach, on the wall or in an album. It gives them a real sense of belonging, a real sense of security, of love, of connection, that bond. As opposed to kind of not seeing pictures of them in their home growing up. So I think it's something that's really important. So now everything, like I said, is on the phone. And I had an experience recently where a very good friend of mine passed away again from cancer. And everyone thought they knew her password on her phone. And when, you know, I thought you had the password. No, didn't you have the password? And now all her pictures and all her memories are locked away. And it's really sad. So that kind of legacy of so many years worth of pictures is kind of, I guess, locked because no one else can really unlock it. So I don't know. It's something that's quite important and close to my heart to, you know, have pictures printed.
Absolutely. And you're right. We're all guilty of just leaving them on the phone or in the cloud and never printing them out. So thanks for reminding us, Navina. It's time. Get up to boots or get the photos online or indeed speak to you. But it's so nice to have local people, St. Albans locals born and bred on the show, because most of us presenters are blow-ins. We've come to St. Albans and made it our home, but so it's nice to speak to the indigenous people, if you like.
I was born in St. Albans City Hospital, actually. They don't have maternity there anymore.
I don't think so, no.
So my mum's newborn mums, they come from Watford or Lister Hospital.
Brilliant.
Got a maternity section in St. Albans.
Brilliant. So tell us about Peekaboo Studios. Tell us what you specialise in.
So I specialise in newborn and maternity photography. So what I mean by that, for newborn, we're talking very, very young, days old. 4 to 10 days old is what we're talking about. So when you're looking for a newborn photographer, you need to look for experience in not just taking the photographs, but actually in handling a newborn baby. So I would say only really about 20% of my skills technically are used for photographing babies. 80% is actually understanding their cues and what they might be needing, what they're looking for, why they're unsettled, do they have colic? You know, do they have nappy rash? You know, why they might be upset, because they are so young. And normally, if we're the first time mum that comes to me, if you imagine they're just days old, they don't actually know what's wrong with the baby themselves if the baby's unsettled. So we say 4 to 10 days old purely because that's when the baby is at its most sleepiest stage. So they're very easy to mold, a bit like plasticine, and you can move their little fingers and toes. Their bones are very soft. So you can put them in that womb-like position, which they're very used to doing. So yeah, the newborn stage with baby photography, you need to very much understand what's happening with the baby itself. And also safety as well. So knowing how to handle the baby's head, how to handle its body, its respiratory system, you need to have a lot of understanding about the newborn. So when we say baby photographer, a baby that's 6 or 7 months old that can sit up and kind of gurgle and sing songs and clap hands is completely different to a baby that has just been born. Literally, we're talking days old. And kind of when the baby's getting a little bit older, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, they're a little bit more unsettled, a little bit more awake. They're becoming a lot more alert. So they are a bit harder to pose and to put in those beautiful positions that you might see on my social media or on my pages. So newborn is very, very young. So you know, if anyone's looking for a newborn photographer, they need to look for experience. That's one real key thing. And I have 14 years worth of experience. And then safety. Safety is absolute paramount as well. And then maternity photography, I haven't been doing as long as 14 years. I've probably only been doing about half the time, so 7 years. And to me, I feel like that's a lot more harder than newborn photography. And I'll explain why. With babies, any kind of picture I take of the baby, the parent's going to absolutely love. It's going to always have that cute factor, that kind of, beautiful, emotive feeling about it. But with maternity photography, it presents a lot more challenges because you're not photographing the baby this time. You're actually photographing the mum-to-be. And historically, a lot of mums-to-be really want their pictures taken to have to document as a memory, but they also feel, I'm not looking my best. You know, I've maybe put on a bit of weight here and there on thighs, on arms. So they're feeling very exposed, kind of embarrassed. You know, the media has kind of almost taught us to look and feel ugly. You know, you've got TikTok and all these kind of pretty women looking absolutely amazing. And that's not the reality. So I get a lot of mums that have a lot of body issues when they come to me. So I've kind of got to tackle that first. And I've got 1 or 2 hours to kind of break all those down, those things that they think about themselves. And my mission when I take maternity pictures is to make them look and feel like a goddess, because they're doing something incredible. They are growing a human being inside them, which is an absolute miracle. And they forget that. All they think is, look a bit fat, and but I just want a few photographs just to remember. I'll just help put them away and I can look back at them. Actually, I want them to come along and I want them to feel empowered. I want them to feel like this is incredible. And actually, this is me. Take it or leave it. You know, I am growing a beautiful human inside me. I can't wait to meet them. And I will teach them how to pose in such a way that they look and feel super proud. So I'll get them to put their hands on their hips. I'll get them to, you know, chin up, look up, you know, look up the sky like they're regal or something, you know. And I'll really make them feel and look amazing. I'll also style them in such a way with beautiful outfits. So I've got lots of variety of figure hugging outfits. Or if they want something really fancy, I've got kind of, you know, big princess flouncy outfits. And I've invested in some absolutely stunning gowns from Italy and the Netherlands, had them shipped over here to make mums-to-be really, really look and feel incredible. Because I feel like, you know, it's only 8 or 9 months that our body shape's changing. Why not embrace it? Embrace motherhood, embrace womanhood, embrace being a woman. And I often get mums-to-be kind of, you know, saying to me, well, I don't know how to pose. I'm not a showy person. I don't like showing off. And I actually teach them 10 minutes of posing before we start the shoot, just to put them at ease. I will teach them how to pose so that they look quite feminine. So technically in the photography world, you know, we'll look for triangles in photographs. So if I get them to put their hands on their hips, they've got triangles here. If I get them to lift their legs at the knee, they've got a triangle there. And that's how we create that beautiful feminine look. And this is something that they can't do at home. They don't have that sort of technical expertise to create those beautiful shapes. And I'm so confident that they will love these pictures. I literally take the picture of them and I'll show them the back of the camera there and then. That's how confident I am. And literally the way their face changes, oh my God, did you just take that of me? And I say, that this isn't even edited. You've put your trust in me. You've, you know, now look what I'm creating. Now, you know, let go a bit. And it's just that whole kind of smile like, oh, this is going to be okay. I'm actually really enjoying this. If you actually look through some of my testimonials, a lot of the clients, I've even noted some of them, you know, one of them said, I never thought I could actually look like this. One of them said, she made us feel so at ease and, you know, step out of our comfort zone a little bit, which was great. Another one said, I felt so empowered and so relaxed. And these are people who, they don't really know what they want out of a maternity shoot. They just want a memory. But actually, I want them to go beyond that. I want to, you know, learn a bit about them, understand their story, and kind of really bring them out themselves and make them super proud when they see their photographs. They actually can't choose which one they want to go for afterwards. So that's, it's really
brilliant.
Nice. So maternity shoots that, for me, harder, because you've got to really understand what the, you know, their personal likes and dislikes are. There's no point me photographing in the style that I want, because it might not be them, authentic them. They don't want to look at that picture in 10 years time and say, well, that wasn't me. She kind of dressed me like that. You know, I need to understand the essence of them as a person. Are they shy? Are they showy? Are they confident? You know, do they just want to wear, you know, a pair of slouch jeans and a little crop top, or maybe dad's oversized shirt? Do they actually want to show the bare belly with nothing on it? You know, do they have stretch marks, or do they want to cover up? So I have, you know, a lot of traditional religious people, you know, don't really want to show the belly, the bare skin. So we have them wearing, you know, outfits that cover the bump, but they can definitely see the shape. You know, some of them don't want to show their arms.
Yeah.
So it's really important for me to understand what it is they want as well. There's no point me photographing what I love. It's a bit of both. So I do that by having a bit of a consultation beforehand, a few days beforehand. I'll ring them up. We'll have a chat about what they like. Have they seen anything on my page that stands out to them? Have they seen something maybe on Pinterest, a Pinterest board? I'll get them to create a mood board. Do they want a silhouette of just their figure, where you can't actually see detail in their face, but there's like a black shadow? And I'll really bring out ideas to kind of hone in what it is they're looking for maternity. So it's much harder with maternity.
I can imagine that. And I can imagine that most pregnant women are a bit reluctant, exactly as you say. I mean, when I think about it, in both my pregnancies, I don't even think I've got that many photos. And if I do, it's usually me wearing something massively oversized just for comfort. So it's beautiful to capture that moment. And as you say, capture the beauty of pregnancy and not let it pass, because it's such a blur. I don't know how everybody else feels, but both my pregnancies yeah. were an exhausted blur. And so it would have been lovely to have something to capture that moment and show my kids now that was you inside that bump, you know.
Yeah, and to show, you know, where they've come from before they were born as well. But, you know, a lot of mums, mum-to-bes, like you say, they don't want to be on camera. You know, even in the newborn shoots, they feel like, you know, they maybe put on a bit of weight, maybe a little bit of water retention around their face. But I ask them to put their trust in me. I will pose them in such a way that I will literally paint with shadow and light under the chin where you can't, you know. I would teach them, you know, chin out and down, and if you do that you won't get a double chin, you know. I would teach them while I'm taking the pictures that they just need to put their trust in me and be in those photographs. And I will also say to them as well, these pictures, I know you might not want to be in them, but what I would say is they're not just for you, they're for that baby, they're for the baby's legacy. We don't last forever. You know, and I want to sort of educate parents that we're not, you know, we don't know what's around the corner. You know, we might not be here next week. And so our children deserve to see how we look. And even though we might feel, oh, we look big or we've put on weight or whatever, they will never say that to you. You know, when they look at pictures of their parents, they'll yeah. never, you know, turn the pages and say, oh, well, you were a bit fat then.
Yeah. Thankfully.
But all they will see is that's mom, that's dad. That's all they know. And we kind of owe it to them. You know, it's not for us and all our flaws and hang-ups. It's actually for their visual legacy and their heritage and their an heirloom for them. And maybe it might not mean so much now, but in 20 years' time, that picture of mom kind of emotively holding baby, kind of raw, just nuzzling into them. How many of us can say that we've seen our parents do that with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're at home on our phone. It's more smile for the camera, you know, look at the camera. This is me. We just cradle baby like that. But I will teach poses that aren't just cradling baby like that. I will teach poses that you can't get at home. Because people might say, well, everyone has a phone now. You can all take your own pictures. They've all got portrait mode. Depth of field, there's, you know, black and white, there's so many things, but there's nothing like getting that kind of rawness of that emotional connection and that bond with baby the way I take them. And that's something, I mean, I still wouldn't be running as a business if people didn't come to me. They're commissioning me to get something that's different that they can't get at home.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, so you painted a lovely picture of newborn babies and how malleable they are in the first few days and stuff like that, but are they not a bit difficult to work with? Come on, tell us honestly, what's tricky about working with babies?
So babies, in a nutshell, yes. But babies are really, really difficult to work with, especially newborns. You probably heard that expression, never work with babies or, you know, children or animals.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so unpredictable. That's the problem. You know, with an older child or an older baby, they can probably understand direction, you know, like come here, sit here. You know, but with a newborn, you've got to have a lot of patience. You've got to be persistent as well. So if they're not doing a pose a particular time, you know, just stop, let them have a feed, let them have a stretch. And, you know, I shoot really quickly, seconds, you know, the shutter is seconds. And I have my shot list and I kind of know what I'm doing so that we're not wasting time. But it's a very baby-led shoot. A newborn is a newborn. They're going to soil themselves at whatever time. They're going to, you know, have issues, colicky issues. They're going to be upset. So there's a lot of waiting. And it is really, really hard. And as newborn photographers, we're taught to take what we call a safe shot. So you put the baby in, you know, a beautiful bucket or something, and it might not be perfect, but take that safe shot. Because what's not perfect to me as a photographer, the parents are going to, they won't see the technical difficulties. Take a safe shot. And then if the baby's still settled, then refine it a bit more, and then keep going, you know, until you've got the absolute perfect shot. But you don't know when you're going to get that absolute perfect shot. So it's best just to get something that's just nice, even if the little fingers are kind of bent in, and then only perfect it if you can. So it's, you know, we're hoping for the baby to be what we call milk drunk. So just like hanging there, like arms and legs are just hanging so that you can mold their little toes and fingers. But, you know, 80% of the time they're not. You have to set up. And I'm a very hands-on newborn photographer. I do explain that in my kind of prep setup that parents won't really have to do much. They just sit and relax. I will wind the baby, I'll soothe the baby, I will change the baby's nappy.
Wow, it sounds like childcare and photography wrapped in one.
Call me the baby whisperer. I mean, even in newspaper articles, they've actually called me the baby whisperer. Just, you know, can you come home with me? Can I pack you, you know? But it is just experience. You know, I wasn't like that on day one. I've learned things from new moms, you know, moms that maybe have mastitis. They come in with literally cabbage leaves on their chest because, you know, and they'll be breastfeeding. They'll just take, oh, excuse me, and they'll take out the cabbage leaf. And, you know, and that's something that's come from history, a cabbage leaf. It really does work.
Yeah.
And I'll take that bit of knowledge and I'll use that in the next mom that maybe is in pain and needs soothing in that area. And as newborn maternity photographers, we need to be compassionate. We need to have an understanding that these moms are super emotional right now. They've gone through so much. They could have potentially had cesareans. Most of them are still bleeding. You know, it's a horrendous time, really,
for
a lot of moms. And then you want to put them in front of a camera like a rabbit in headlights. And so you've got to prepare them. You've got to have a real empathy.
Yeah.
And that's what you're getting with a good newborn and maternity photographer, that real understanding.
Yeah. And it, your kindness really comes across, Naveena, in how you deal with it. And I think I bet that's so comforting to parents. Now, I want to ask you about your most memorable shoot. What one stands out in your history of maternity or in newborn shoots?
I mean, in the last 14 years, I've done so many different shoots. The kind of fun ones that really stand out are when you get parents that say, you know, can you dress my baby as a minion? Or as a, I've dressed a baby as Princess Leia from Star Wars.
That's no way. I'm going straight to your Instagram page now.
That was one from back in the day. It's probably over 10 years ago. But she had like one of those wigs with the two like buns on each side.
Oh my goodness.
And I photographed the strangest one. This dad was really into collectible camper vans. You know, the old fashioned camper vans?
Yeah.
They had a baby girl and he bought this. It was like a bean bag, a pink bean bag that was a camper van in the shape of a camper van with a number plate and everything on. And he wanted me to kind of have the baby posed on its elbows on this beautiful pillow type thing. But then they had a little hat as well, which was a camper van hat with the headlights. And it was just the cutest thing, but it's so different. But this is what I mean by storytelling. I'm not like a cookie cutter photographer, which does have five different poses. We're going to do this, 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 and this, turn this way. You know, I like to inject a bit of the family traditions, a bit of the heritage, what the parents like. So I've actually photographed even like a barrister's newborn. And so I had them come in their uniform with their wig and everything. I've actually got a visual. I'm going to show it to you really quickly just to bring it to life. Can you see this here?
I can indeed. That, what a beautiful shot.
It's so different. It's so emotive.
Do you want me to describe it or will you describe it?
Please. Yeah, no, I'll let you describe it, actually. I'd love to hear it.
So we have a beautiful mom. She's wearing, she's clearly a barrister. She's wearing the white wig. The kind of traditional wig for barristers, and she's got her black cloak over a white shirt and she's cradling her newborn baby. I mean, I've just never seen anything like it. It's beautiful.
So this is what I mean by my work is so different. I will learn about the client and what their background is. So I photographed, you talk about most memorable, I photographed a fireman dad who's come in his full outfit. I've actually won awards for this portrait, but he had the helmet. And he literally came in the full kit. And then the newborn was dressed as a little mini fireman as well, balancing on his arm. And it was just so emotive, so beautiful. And they have this beautiful portrait in their conservatory. I photographed a newborn baby inside a policeman's helmet.
Oh, lovely.
On its elbows inside the helmet and the dad's holding the helmet. just so many.
Yeah, I mean, I'd really recommend listeners go to your Instagram page and just scroll through. Like, it's a joy to watch, and the uniqueness that you're talking about really, really comes across there. It's so important for us as a local community radio station to have local businesses on air, and you are indeed part of our community. I wonder, what other local businesses do you connect with, do you work with?
So I have collaborated with three or four different businesses that are experts in the newborn field. So I spend a lot of time with newborn mums. So the shoot takes kind of 3 to 4 hours. So I have a lot of time to talk to them about life, about how they're feeling, you know, what is it like, you know, how are they finding motherhood? But also a lot of issues come up. They might be having like pelvic issues after birth. They might need breastfeeding support and things like that. And I have some really amazing local ladies that I work with. And so one of them is called Louise Balm, and she has a business called Birth Balm, and she creates placenta pills. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but she basically takes the placenta and makes them into these little capsules. And these capsules are used after the birth to help promote with increasing milk supply, glowing skin, hair and nails, help with kind of tiredness and moods and things like that. And to me, it's amazing. So I work very closely with her, and actually both our daughters go to St Albans Girls' School. So it's quite nice. We've become really good friends. So we support each other.
Fantastic. I've never heard of it, of placenta pills. I think you've just given us a new guest for the Parents Show. Can we have her number, please?
Yeah, no, she's a wealth of information. She also covers hypnobirthing as well. And then I worked with a lovely lady who deals with breastfeeding issues. So latching on, milk supply. She's based in North London as well, and her business is called Nurture and Feed. So these are all kind of local mums, just like me. They've all got children. I work with a new shop that's actually just opened in St Albans on Catherine Street. It's called Alban Osteopathy. And she does what it says on the tin. She offers post-birth support for baby issues, so like head traumas, pelvic pain, and she does breastfeeding checks. So if you're ever actually shopping in St Albans and you need somewhere to just go and feed your baby and you want that privacy, she has a little area where you can, it's actually quite a big area, and you can go in and feed your baby. So, you know, back, you know, it's baby feeding time, but I don't know where I'm going to go and feed baby. You know, you want a bit of privacy. There's a lovely place there. And she does a lot of drop-ins as well. And then I work with an antenatal group as well called All About Antenatal. And we work very closely together. So they promote me to all their new mums. So there's a lot of, they have some beautiful photographs of mine in some of the albums that I do. And they kind of, when they're talking about pre-birth, they're sort of saying, oh, have you ever thought about a photo shoot? So we all promote each other, and I love, you know, building these relationships and working with these new mums. We're all just mums that have a small business, and we all kind of help promote each other. I've got a welcome desk, so when my clients come in, they've got all the flyers there, they can have a look and pick and choose, and they know that I can work with actual experts in different fields, and that they know they can trust those people, and we all help them promote each other.
That's brilliant. We'll take a quick break now on The Parents Show on Mix 92.6.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Thanks for staying with us on The Parents Show on Mix 92.6.
And then another couple of businesses which I'll just talk about that I love supporting as well is, I'm quite an eco, I call myself a bit of an eco warrior. I love helping the environment, and I really wanted to do something for my business which helps support climate positivity and looking after the environment. And I chose to focus on nappies purely because every shoot that I do, so I pretty much photograph a newborn baby every day or every other day. I'm not doing maternity. And if you can imagine 14 years worth of so many nappies being thrown away. So in the space of kind of 4 hours, there'd be about 9 nappies from one baby. And they were hardly even used or soiled. You know, with the little blue indicators they have now, literally a little drop of whey and the nappy would be whipped off. And,
oh, no.
And they would just go in my bin. And it really upset me. I know it wasn't my baby, but I was seeing the amount of nappies. And in my head, I was like, oh, my God, these are going to landfill. I felt really quite sad and emotional about it. They're not my babies, but these are just babies that come to me today. What about the millions of babies with nappies? Yeah. Babies wear nappies for about 2 years of their life. So if you're thinking they use about 9 nappies a day, you know, if you do the maths, it's kind of like, what about our children? You know, what about the environment for them, for their life? You know, we're throwing away so many nappies. So I teamed up with a wonderful business called Mama Bamboo. Laura Crawford, there's two moms. They are based in St. Albans. They're an award-winning nappy brand. They've actually got a pack of their nappies here. So these nappies are compostable.
Fantastic.
They are made from bamboo. So bamboo is a breathable product. So unlike the nappies, the very standard nappies that everyone uses, they have chemicals in and almost like a plastic lining. So they don't actually let the baby's bottom breathe. So with all the moisture, this is why we get nappy rash. With these breathable nappies, it basically lets the bottom breathe. There's no chemicals. It has a natural antibacterial product in it as well, which helps soothe the baby's bottom. And they're really soft to touch. They're just a beautiful, beautiful product. But the main thing is they're compostable.
That's brilliant.
I think it's 80% of it's compostable. The only bit that's maybe not, I think, is the little plastic
tabs. Is it?
Tabs. You just pull those off and then the rest of it, I think it decomposes. I want to say in less than 3 months, but I'd need to just double check that with Mama Bamboo. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful product.
Yeah.
And so what's great is that I'm meeting the mum at the beginning of their journey. So if I can sow that seed of, you know, trying to, you know, buy these nappies that aren't going to go to landfill, you know, there's no point doing it in the middle of their journey because they're already buying a certain nappy and they're kind of already within that. But if I can change their mindset, so I give them samples of these nappies and, I feel really happy that I'm able to support these local mums as well. So,
yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, I think the amount of nappies going into landfill, it is eye-watering and it is depressible and unsustainable. You know, I remember I was trying to do my bit by having reusable cloth nappies, at least while my children were in the house, so that because they weren't, this is a long time ago, this is going back 15 years ago, they weren't as I think as advanced as they probably are now. They tended to leak a little bit, but at least it would save, you know, a few nappies a day. But that's so wonderful, Navina. You're literally troubleshooting on so many levels by helping with local contacts. You've got your sustainability goals and all the time protecting, you know, new moms at a very vulnerable time while getting photographs taken. So you're really spinning a lot of plates at the same time.
Yeah. So I also teamed up with a wonderful business called Ecology. And this is all part of my kind of sustainable goals for my small business as well, and me being a bit of an eco warrior. So alongside the Mama Bamboo nappies, this company empowers businesses to save the planet by simply planting trees. And they plant trees to offset carbon footprint. So I kind of had the idea that for every few babies that I shoot, I'm going to plant trees for them. So every month I pay a small fee, it's the same as the price of coffee, and they plant a certain number of trees to kind of offset the babies that I photograph. So that's quite a nice one as well. So they actually do all that kind of, it's not literally me planting a tree, but they support projects in Mozambique, Nicaragua, I think, Taiwan, Ethiopia, and they plant a certain amount of trees. And I've been working with them now for, I think, 4 years. And to date, I funded 1,555 trees, which is
brilliant.
Really lovely. So, you know, we need to think about the future and our children's lives and whether they're going to be able to breathe the clean air when they're older. You know, we might not be here, but it's their life. You know, and so I feel really happy to be able to support this company as well. I actually joined them. It was actually during COVID when, you know, we had to do the homeschooling. I couldn't actually work for a year, but what it did for me was allowed me to step out of my business, because I'm always so busy, to actually just take a look at it from the outside and see, you know, is there anything I want to do to, you know, to enhance it? And I found this company, and I thought, you know, I feel like without COVID, I wouldn't have found this company. They have a huge following as well. Huge, if you look at their website, huge big brands follow them as well. So I knew it was something I could trust, you know, where I'm putting my money as well. But it was just such a lovely idea, you know, to just be able to plant the trees, the easiest thing you can do. And it really resonated with me, because when my daughter Ava was born, I actually planted a tree for her in our garden. And the tree is actually bigger than our house. She's 15. But it kind of goes with my brand, you know, like new seed of life, kind of new creation, the whole kind of tree of life, family, roots. It just worked kind of hand in hand. So I just really loved this brand, as working with this brand, as well, knowing that I'm supporting something good for the climate as well.
Brilliant. Navina, it's been so fantastic talking to you. If listeners hear this interview and want to get in touch, can you tell us what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, so I'm based in St. Albans, Hertfordshire, and you can find more details about me on my website, which is www.peekabostudios.co.uk. And you can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook under Peekaboo Studios UK as well.
That's brilliant, Navina. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for joining us on The Parents Show.
Thank you.
Now, if you're looking for something to do with the kids in February half term, St Albans Museum is opening its doors to kids of all ages for messy play and creative activity. You can drop in for half an hour or stay for longer at this new regular session aimed especially at younger visitors, accompanied by one or more grown-ups who are still young at heart, and best of all, grown-ups go free. Ian Pritchard talked to Catherine Newley from the museum about what it was all about.
So half term's the 17th to the 21st of February this year.
Okay, so all the parents out there will have known that already.
It'll be in their diaries. They'll be panicking already about what on earth they're going to do. Well, we've got plenty going on. So the museums, both Verulamium Museum and the Museum and Gallery, have signed up to the Kids in Museums Manifesto, which is about making sure that we're more welcoming for children and for young people and families. So we have lots going on over February half term. We can solve all your diary dilemmas when you're looking for things to keep the children amused. So at the Museum and Gallery, we have 3 days of quite intense activity. We have Messy Mondays, which actually happens every Monday, but will be happening during half term, which is for under fives, so it's the smaller ones, and it's messy play. I mean, it's music to my ears. It's Play-Doh, paints and sand, and there's no clearing up afterwards, because you just get to walk away from it, and we do the clearing up for you.
Wow, that is absolutely awesome. That both as a parent and a grandparent, the thing that actually makes the shivers run up and down my spine is messy play, actually. Yep. Probably only surpassed by an invitation to do some gluing and sticking.
Yeah. Well, we've got all that covered. So, if any under fives and their parents want to come along to the Museum and Gallery on the 17th of February, we'll be doing Messy Mondays. We also have a craft workshop on the Tuesday, the 18th of February, which is inspired by our exhibition Synchronicity, which is a conceptual art exhibition by local artist Maria Mayer, where we're going to be encouraging children. It's aimed at children that are 5+, to come up with imaginative artworks based on Maria's exhibition. So what she often does is find a lot of found objects from a variety of different places and find new ways that they can be put together, thus creating a thingamabob. And that's the idea behind this workshop. So it's a chance for children to let their imaginations go wild. And then on the 19th of February, the Wednesday, we have, we're making model lions and unicorns, which is based on the crest, the magistrate's crest that we have in the courtroom of our building. So it's a chance to just have a go of making models out of all sorts of different materials. And again, just being a bit creative. So those are the three things that are happening at the Museum and Gallery. And then at Verulamium, we also have archaeology sessions for families happening on the Tuesday and the Friday of that week. So you can learn how archaeologists record their finds when they find things in the ground and how they analyze them. That's included with entry, so there's no extra cost. And we've also got a clay workshop for families happening on the Thursday, which will be about making a Roman cup. So you can have a go, inspired by our collections at Verulamium, at making things out of clay. And every day at both museums, we have handling trolleys so that there's chances to handle real historic objects. We have explorer buckets for the younger ones with magnifying glasses and various other little tools you can use to help you explore the museums. We've got trails. At Vera Loman, we have mosaic making you can have a go at. And we've got crafts in the colonnade, which is the entrance to the museum where you can make fridge magnets or badges. And at both sites, we've got dressing up. So there's plenty going on to keep families amused over half term.
Wow, that's amazing. And so just looking at the Verulamium one, the archaeology and the clay modelling, what sort of age groups is that aimed at?
So the archaeology is for families. We recommend ages 7 to 12, but anyone's welcome. We're not going to turn anyone away if they're outside of that age range. But and what they'll be doing is looking at some objects and seeing how we archaeologists use a finds recording sheet and kind of doing some measurements and some drawing. And being an archaeologist, basically. And the clay workshop is really for 7 years plus.
Okay. And these are all happening in Half Term Works. They're beginning on the 17th of February. I've got Messy Monday on the 17th and the craft workshop on the 18th and so on. What sort of times in the day?
So there are a variety of times, most of them happening in the mornings. Messy Mondays is at 10:15, and that happens every Monday. We have the thingamabob workshops are happening throughout the day, actually. So we're having them at 10:15, 11:30, 1:30, or 2:45. Similar times for the workshop on the model line and unicorn workshop. At Verulamium, it's 10:30 till 1. You can kind of come along at any point during that time for the archaeology sessions. And the clay workshop is at 10:30 or 11:30 on the Thursday. With all of these, I would recommend going on our website just to double check those details. And with some of them, it's better to book because we can't guarantee that there'll be tickets on the day. The only one that I would say that's not necessary with is the archaeology for families, where I think we'll be able to manage throughout the day with whenever people turn up.
Okay, and what's the website for people to go to?
Good question. So the website, if people want to find out more, is stalbansmuseums.org.uk. And then if you go to the What's On page, you'll find all the details of things that are on in half term.
Excellent. And what does it cost for people to go to Sunday?
So it's a variety of different costs, from £6.50 for some of the sessions. The archaeology is free with your entry to Verulamium Museum. So it's mostly around £6.50.
£6.50 per person or
per child that takes part. Yes, so the adults don't have to pay.
Adults go free. Wow, fantastic. And how many people at the museums actually get involved in this, Catherine? Because I can imagine it must be quite a thing to put all this stuff together.
Yes, I mean, I've got friends who are teachers who always breathe a sigh of relief during half term, but for museum workers, it's the entirely opposite way. So half term is always one of our busiest times. We have a team of museum staff who are all really excited to be welcoming families. We've got learning officers who've put together the programme, and our visitor services staff are really keen to welcome people into museums whenever they arrive.
Fantastic. And some of the stuff that you talked about there that kids get to handle, are these real museum pieces? Or
absolutely, yes.
Those things made out of plastic that represent...
No plastic in our handling trolleys, no. There are different things in both museums. Obviously, at Verulamium, the items all relate to the Roman. It's the Museum of Everyday Life in Roman Britain, so it's objects that relate to that. For example, you can find out how the Romans wiped their bottoms.
Wow! Did they have to do that? I guess. And did they have toilet paper? I bet they didn't.
They didn't have toilet paper. You'll have to come along to see that. Okay, I'll spoil the surprise. Sponges on a stick. That was how they would wipe their bottoms, yeah.
Okay, and did the rich people have people who actually wiped their bottoms for them?
I would imagine probably so, yeah.
I'm sure they did.
But yes, so there's a variety of objects you can find out more about, everyday life. So cooking, washing, toileting. At the museum and gallery, it's slightly different, and the objects are not quite so personal hygiene related.
So much less fun if you're kind of unmanned, probably.
Maybe. And we have a couple of objects that are very related to our exhibitions that are on at the moment, actually. So at the museum and gallery, we've got a couple of different exhibitions on, but the one that we've got in our main exhibition space is called Catching the Chain, which is looking at the history of criminal justice. And we have some objects in our handling trolley that relate to that. So I think we've got some police buttons and...
So I say just again, Catherine, when this is happening, where it's happening, and how people find out more.
So this is all taking place during half term, which is the 17th to the 21st of February, at both museums. So the St Albans Museum and Gallery and Verulamium Museum. And you can find out more by going to our website at stalbansmuseums.org.uk.
Excellent. So Katyn, thanks so much for telling us all about that here on Mixed 92.6.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ian Pritchard talking to Catherine Newley about a messy half term at the St Albans Museum.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.